Well, hello there. You are about to enter the mind of the mindset maniac. Your mindset is the most important part of your existence. Don't believe me? You will. With a healthy, adaptive, and expansive mindset, you can achieve anything, and you can learn to use every challenge in your life to benefit you in some way. I am here to teach you all the ways your mindset dictates your current experiences in life and ultimately your future. This podcast will teach you applicable tools and resources that you can start applying today to improve your life. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and jump right in. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of The Mindset Maniac. I am Leslie Krivar, your host and Mindset Maniac. And today, my friends, you will find me in preparation for a wisdom teeth extraction that I will be having tomorrow morning. So I am preparing for that mentally because I am on a healing journey right now for my gut. And part of that means that I have to be very careful and very, picky about what I'm eating, what I'm putting in my body. And so with that comes a choice not to ingest anything like pain relievers or something that could disrupt my gut and microbiome. So saying that, I will be going through the wisdom teeth healing process without pain relievers, at least the over-the-counter prescription painkillers. I'll be looking for some natural remedies, of course. But in saying this, and I share this because I have had to do a lot of work anticipating this day, getting my mind in the right space, getting my mind in a space where I'm not having thoughts that are making me feel a way that is not going to serve me. So the first thought that I had come up, and it was an unintentional thought, it just kind of popped up into my mind, and it was, this is going to be miserable. I can't do this, which again is unintentional. I didn't really ask for that thought to pop up. It just was there, and that's okay. But it's not a fact, right? It's not a fact that tomorrow is going to be miserable or the healing process is going to be miserable. And it's also not a fact that I can't do this. And the reason that neither of those are facts is because they're subjective, right? My opinion of what misery is different than someone else's. And same thing with my capabilities, what I'm actually able to do. So I really had to choose an intentional thought, something that I felt like would make me feel better or thought would make me feel better. And so what I came up with was, I can do this. And more specifically, I'm ready for this. So today, I've been kind of using that as my mantra. I'm ready for this, because it doesn't change the fact that it's probably going to be hard or it's going to be painful. But when I say I'm ready for this, it makes me feel empowered, as opposed to when I was unintentionally thinking, I can't do this, this is going to be miserable, I was feeling powerless. So that is what's going on in my world right now, which is a perfect segue into how our emotions impact what we do, what we don't do, and how we have to be really intentional about how long we let an emotion stay there and if we act on it, right? So I want to share a story that dates back a few months, because we are in December and I want to talk to you about something that happened in October and well, end of October. So not too long ago, but we were, as a family, carving pumpkins. It was Watson and me and Anthony, and Watson was working so hard on carving his very first pumpkin. And it was taking him a lot of time. You know, he was really like working hard, like I said, and he was working to get this like whole stem cut out, which was no joke because he chose a pumpkin that had a stem. And I'm not joking, the circumference of an eggplant. It was actually really cool. But thinking about it now, like, it's probably the reason that these next things that I'm going to explain happened, because this was just a very unique type of pumpkin, you will say. So here's Watson. He's working really hard to get this stem out. And finally, it's time for him to like pop the stem out. And Dad calls me over so we could make a big deal out of him, like getting the stem off of the pumpkin that he just carved by himself for the first time. And he's standing on top, like right above the pumpkin, like both hands are wrapped around the stem. and he's pulling and we're cheering like, oh, Watson. And he pulls and it doesn't come off. And then he pulls really hard. And then finally it like pops off. And just as that happens, Watson screams and then Anthony yells. And then I see that this whole pumpkin is filled with bugs. Like it is infested. And Watson, he drops the stem like back onto the pumpkin. Tears immediately start streaming down his face. And like I said, like the pumpkin, it's disgusting. It's so infested. And Watson is just like so upset. Like in my opinion, or at least like from what like my first reaction is, like he's irrationally upset. And he kept crying and like saying over and over, I worked so hard. It was all for nothing. Halloween is ruined. And if you've listened to my other episodes, you may have heard the one on why children seem so irrational. And like in certain moments, especially like this, why no logic can calm them down. So if you've listened to that episode, you know, I don't need to go in depth about it, but if you haven't listened to it, I'll drop the name of it in the show notes and you can give it a listen because it's really good. But anyways, because of this understanding of how both sides of his brain work, I know not to try and appeal to his logic in these types of moments. So instead, I let him cry and I let him be sad. And when it was the right time, and when I say the right time, I mean, it was about 10, 15 minutes of just letting this big emotion be there. But when it was the right time, we talked about how sad it was. And I helped him take a couple deep breaths. You know, I helped him allow those breaths to come in and to allow his nervous system to kind of reset. And I can always tell when it's starting to happen because he'll breathe with me and then I'll notice just kind of a big breath come in and almost like double breaths as like the body just kind of like resets itself. And so once I knew that his body was starting to feel safer, I invited him to get a visual to show me how he was feeling. And this is something that's been working really well for him. If you don't know, at the time that I'm recording this, he's about 6 and a half. So if you have children around this age, this can be a really helpful resource. But a while back, he made a bunch of note cards with little faces on them that represent his emotions. And so in moments where he's feeling a big feeling, I'll invite him to bring me some of his emotions so that we can look at him. We can take a look at what the emotion is and we can talk to it, which is really helpful because it allows us as humans, and this is so powerful for adults too, when we have a big emotion that we're either afraid of or that we're trying to push away, but it's very helpful to separate ourselves from the emotion that we're feeling. And so for him, we're looking at it on a note card or on a post-it that he made. But for adults, this could literally just be writing down the emotion or feeling that you're having, being able to look at it, separate yourself from it, and talk to it in a way that sort of seems silly, but really like allows you to disconnect from something that feels like it's overwhelming you. Okay. So with the sad emotion in hand, Watson brings this emotion to me. He's explaining to me that this is sadness. That's how he feels. I started to like kind of joke a little bit about what just happened. And as I began to put the chain of events in order so he could process it fully, I threw in like a couple funny things to help him laugh. And for him, this specifically works because it helps disarm him and it further helps his little nervous system start to relax. And retelling the story is also a very powerful technique that I share in previous podcast episodes. Again, I'll drop these in the show notes, but it's very helpful to retell stories for little ones, for adults, because it helps them understand what just happened and to help them find a resolution in that experience, because there always needs to be an ending to what just happened. Otherwise, we just kind of like move on with this open loop. We had this like big traumatic experience or little traumatic experience, and then it's just kind of like it was over and we didn't really fully resolve it. So we sat down, we retold the story together, and this helped a little bit more as well. But afterwards, W started to say, gosh, I'm still feeling so sad. And he kept going back to, I'm so sad. And then he would start to cry again, which again is normal. He's 6. He's having a big reaction to this. And I said, you know, it's okay to be sad, But there's something really important to remember. It's okay to feel sad. We need to feel sad sometimes, but we never want to become our sadness. And this is an important point because I don't ever want to, and we never want to, as we work with kids and even as we work with ourselves or even fellow adults, we never want to push an emotion away. We do want to process it fully, even when it's really uncomfortable. We want to process it so it has space and so that we're not afraid of that emotion. But we don't want to indulge in it. And what I mean by indulge in it is we stay in it for too long. And then it's not even helpful anymore. We're just kind of sitting in it and staying with that like feeling and allowing ourselves to feel really crummy when it's no longer necessary. We've processed it through. So as I said to him, it's okay to feel sadness, but I don't want you to become sadness. This like really sparked his interest. And he immediately wanted to understand why, like it was okay for him to feel sadness. And that's kind of where he stopped first. He's like, why do you want me to feel sadness, mommy? So I gave some examples, some really good examples of reasons that like we want to feel sad. And I said, you know, if mommy got really hurt, would you feel happy or sad? And of course he answered sad. And I said, you know, if you dropped your favorite dessert on the floor, would you be happy or sad? And he said sad. And then I said, you know, if someone was being mean to your best friend, how would you feel, happy or sad? And again, he said sad. And, you know, we talked a little bit more about like why you wouldn't want to feel happy if those things happen. And so he understood that concept. And then I asked, what would you do about those things? If mommy was hurt, what would you do? He said, I'd help you. And I said, okay. And if you dropped your favorite food on the floor, what would you do? He said, I'd be more careful. I wouldn't do that again. And so we talked about what we would do because of that sadness, right? The reason that sadness needed to be there for a temporary amount of time is because it helped us take the next best action. And so I said, you know, you see, sometimes we need to feel sadness. You know, our sadness helps us make good choices and to be a good person. But if we stay sad for too long and we just become our sadness, you know, what do you think that will be like? And he looked at me for a moment and then he said, well, I guess I'll just be sad. And I said, yeah, you're right. And so, you know, we get to choose. And something that we can do, and this is what Watson and I did, but we looked at the events that happened that night. And I said, did we give sadness enough time tonight? And as I said that, I kind of held up the note card so he could look at his sadness. And he said, yes. And I asked, do we understand why sadness was here? And he said, no, not really. Nothing good happened from being sad tonight. And I gave him a big hug and I said, well, sometimes it feels that way. But I think this talk was a pretty good thing to happen because sadness is going to come back again. And now we know how to let it stay for long enough without letting it stay for so long that we become our sadness. And I realize that this is a pretty abstract and kind of complex concept, but I think it's important to have these conversations with our little ones because we don't want to protect them from emotions that are hard from them. We don't want to train them to think that sadness is bad or anger is bad or any of those like negative quote unquote emotions are bad because they all serve a purpose. But what we do with them, how long we let them stay, the actions that we take from them, that is what is, I think, really important. So while he didn't understand or couldn't see anything good that came out of him being sad because of what happened to the pumpkin, I, in a way, tried to reframe it as, you know, we still got to have this conversation and this was a really good one. So yeah, after that, he popped off my lap and he had his sadness note card in hand and he ran to put it away. And I realize that this 30-minute process could have easily been converted into a 30-second suck it up or get over it statement, like when he was, in my opinion, irrationally upset about this pumpkin. But in my opinion, this conversation laid the foundation for a lot of emotional intelligence and regulation that he's going to need in the future. And it's never too late to have these conversations, even with adults, because we are adaptive and we can always continue to layer our ability to grow and to evolve and to do better for ourselves in the way that we act. So, like I said, in the future, this is going to return. We will have sadness again. And when the bigger sadness comes to visit, or the bigger emotions like lots of anger or fear, he will at least have a foundation, right? And some really solid strategies, I hope, to build off of to manage these big emotions. And at the very least, we have the practice of getting through some of these like small moments together. So while this was a story about my six-year-old son and him trying to navigate his way through a very disappointing pumpkin carving experience, the big picture here and the important takeaway is that we do need to feel our emotions. We do need to feel our negative emotions. We need to feel sadness. We need to feel disappointment. We need to feel anger, shame, judgment, jealousy. We need to feel these things. It's important to not be afraid to access those emotions. But we have to be aware of two things. One, how long we're allowing that emotion and feeling to stay. Are we indulging in it? Is it staying longer than it needs to stay? And a really great way to decide if that's the case is just to notice what you're doing with that emotion or feeling. Are you just continuing to spin on it? Is it preventing you from doing something that you want to do? Look at the action that you're taking or not taking because of that feeling or that emotion. And then the second thing to be aware of is connected to this, in that how is that emotion and feeling showing up as far as a result of the action that I'm taking? And so with the examples that I threw out to Watson, sadness in some situations is the right answer because sadness allows you to act in a compassionate way or to do the right thing. But that's not always going to be the case. So we just have to be very aware of how that emotion is guiding us to act and also what the result of that action is. And that's all I have for you today, my friends. As I say each and every week, let's live a meaningful life and we'll chat soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening along with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you could do me a solid, drop me a 5-star rating below and please comment what you liked about this podcast and how it was helpful for you. And if it was, I would love for you to share this with a friend. That is one way that I can continue to grow this podcast, reach more people, and continue to spread the good word. Also, make sure you hit subscribe on your way out so that you never miss an episode with myself, the Mindset Maniac. I'll see you here next time.